Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need. I am your host. And today I am honored and it's a privilege to have these beautiful souls with us today. We have Cindy and Wade Quiddides. Cindy and Wade are simply put magnetic, right? They bring the energy wherever they go. High performance is an underlying theme in their life resume, and they currently have lifestyles. They are lifestyle entrepreneurs with a multitude of thriving businesses, and including an eight-figure per year network marketing business, co-founders of their own investment firm, published authors of the number one journal for network marketers, and their very own podcast, Getting Magnetic with Sandy and Wade. They have known each other their whole lives and have a dynamic, energetic style to them, and they are here to inspire, but most importantly, they have an outstanding morning routine, and I'm looking forward to hearing all about it. So with no further ado, Cindy, Wade, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lunid. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, really excited to connect with you and your listeners. Gosh, just so grateful to be here.
I am elated. Yes, thank you again. Now, you've been in business for quite a while. And so it's rare that I have a duo come on the show. So this is going to make for some fun. I want you guys to kind of fill us in. Tell us how you guys met, how you got in business together, and just a little bit about your journey up to this point.
Absolutely. I'll go ahead and get us started. So Wade and I actually met in the womb. In 1989, our moms were pregnant together at the same time with us, and we were born 3 weeks apart. So we were baby best friends, and we were always family friends and stayed in touch. When we were 2 years old, you know, we reside in California now. That's where we were both born. Yeah. And when we were 2 years old, Wade's family moved to the East Coast. So we always like stayed in touch as family friends, but it wasn't until probably 20 something years after that in our early 20s that we reconnected as adults. And we had this instant connection towards each other. And we're like, wow, like we're meant to be. It was just a timing thing. So we've now been together, gosh, probably like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And we've been doing business together for just about 3 years now.
I'm proud of Sandy. Like she usually tells the like 30-minute Disney story, love story version. That's the shortest I've ever heard her share it on. But yeah, it's pretty special. We're so grateful because we have that foundation and background in like kind of that unique love story and have known, you know, each other for a long time. And it's enabled us to grow together, to do business and life together and everything together. But that, you know, good job, babe. You did that in like a minute.
I'm proud.
Awesome work. So it truly is a love story. And what I hear from you guys is you guys are super amicable, but you can take that friendship that you had before you fell in love, right? And then put that into business. And so now that makes you a power couple. Watch out, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah. We didn't start out, you know, when we connected and realized like, okay, we're meant to be together. Let's figure out life and how we're going to do this. Like we were just starting our careers. We were recently out of college. I was recently out of grad school. Sandy was living in California, always entrepreneurial, always like kind of chasing her passion. And, you know, different things in her life led her to be like, you know what? I'm going to live this life to the fullest. I'm going to find things that I love doing. I'm going to figure it out. For me, I grew up in the Northeast and it was more like I was almost funneled into like, okay, go get your degree, potentially get your master's degree if you want to get ahead, go into the working world, the corporate world, the workforce. Okay, what are the best ways to make money? In my head, I was like, I got to go into finance. So I kind of like, success looked like that for me in the Northeast. So we grew up very differently and we had very different careers at that point when we first met. So we were both building separate careers, but we knew we were meant to be together. And I think both of our, you know, love is probably the biggest powerful force in the world. So we knew that was our priority, our love. We would figure it out. We would figure out careers. Ultimately, we dated long distance for a while, but made the decision that I was going to move ultimately to California. Now, Sandy moved to Boston. I grew up in Boston, moved to Boston with me for a year. And I know that was hard for you. When I look at Sandy nowadays, she's this thriving entrepreneur, but it wasn't always that way. And it never is with entrepreneurs, right? There's not just this yellow brick road of glory straight to the top, right? But she moved to Boston. She sold a business that she owned at that point. And I feel like that's actually a great like story. Do you want to expand on that a little?
Sure. Yeah. So I had a business here in San Clemente, California. It was a franchise, brick and mortar, small business. I had it for 4 years and I knew that my priority was starting my life with Wade. And so I was like, you know what? Money's abundant. Money will come. My priority is Wade. And so I sold my business. I moved across the country, lived, like Wade said, in Boston with him for a year. And Boston is a great city, but I was like, we need to get back.
It has winters. California
does. It has winters. I'm from Boston. I agree with
you. No way. Yeah. Whereabouts?
I lived in Roxbury with my grandmother for years. I went to UMass Dartmouth. So I know the winters are brutal. I'm with you.
That is amazing. A fellow California transplant originally from Boston. That small world.
I know. Yeah. So good. That whole entrepreneurship, it brought you back to California. And so, Sandy, you've been in business. You've been an entrepreneur. You've had that mindset, right? I think a lot of entrepreneurs has that growth mindset. And then we have Wade, who was a little traditional, go to school, get into finance, get the job, get the 9-to-5, and move ahead in that way, move up the ladder. How was that dynamic for you? How, especially like you, Wade, how did that shift start to happen? Because it's really, you got to put that mindset down. You got to go from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, an entrepreneur mindset. So tell us the working of that.
I just got chills down my spine just thinking about it here. And you say go from the fixed to the growth mindset. And that was exactly it. I think I was trained to have the fixed mindset to go into corporate to grow there. But I knew I could look 5 years down the road and know generally where I'd be in my career. And it was easy to kind of get not complacent, but somewhat complacent just to grow. I know what I'm going to do every year. For me, what changed everything was I started to get that itch, like there was more to life. And I started to, rather than just wake up and rush out, grab a quick snack, something unhealthy on the way, like I took a boat to work actually from Boston and running to the boat, sweating, getting on the boat, and then answering emails and making calls and like just kind of drinking from a fire hose to start my day. Cortisol going through my whole body. It was, how do I be more intentional? And instead of doing all that stuff, I started listening to podcasts. I started reading books. I started looking around at people whose lives I wanted to model after. And I started to realize they had patterns in their life. And I started to redefine success from finance job, making money, living downtown to these people, their lives. I want to start modeling after them. They've figured something out that I'm on the way to. I haven't yet. So it was that shift. I realized I got to grow. I got to start reading more. I got to start learning more. I got to start absorbing more from these people who are living a life that I, you know, desire. And I realized there was a lot of different, not a lot. Actually, there was a few patterns of successful people. And a lot of it was that growth mindset, that always learning, that student mindset. But one thing I realized was a lot of them had morning routines and they primed their body and brain for the day. So I stumbled across Hal Elrod in his book, The Miracle Morning. And it totally, it honestly changed my life because I went from waking up, snoozing my alarm, running out the door to waking up a little earlier, being intentional, going through, you know, his kind of miracle morning routine and then developing my own. And then Sandy and I eventually doing it together. And that changed everything for me because then I started to realize, whoa, I can grow in my mindset. There is more out there. There is more possibility. There is more abundance. There's more than just this desk job that I'm not necessarily passionate about. And that was like the catalyst to going into coaching and going into different things and ultimately landing where we are now as lifestyle entrepreneurs working together. I can honestly point to picking up Hal Elrod's book, yeah. The Miracle Morning, and starting to implement that into my life and then ultimately our lives.
It's powerful. Just feeding your mind. That's how it starts. If you don't know where to begin, start by picking up a book. Start feeding your mind because success leaves clues, right? Mm. So it leaves a trail. And so you learn from those that came before you. And for me, it was like looking at Tony Robbins and Oprah Winfrey. It's like, what are they doing with their time? What do they do first thing in the morning? And then I realized there's a whole lot of successful entrepreneurs that do that. There's a morning routine. Mm. There's habits and disciplines that are put in place to actually render success because it puts you in control. It puts you first. And so I'm very well aware of the savers that Hal Harrell has done. And so I'm really thrilled to hear that it's practiced. And so I want to talk about your business. I want to talk about how you serve and how you give back. Tell us, what is it that you do for the community?
Yes. So we are focused on working as health coaches, mindset coaches, and business coaches. So we work with an incredible network marketing company that's been around for over 40 years. It's focused on a holistic approach with gut health kind of being the center of it. So we believe that when you focus on the inside and you have a holistic approach to health and wellness, that ultimately is going to, you know, come from the inside out. And so we take a whole look at the person and we help them with their health. We help them with their mindset. And ultimately, if people want to start a business, we coach them and teach them how to start their own online business as well. So we serve the community in a lot of different ways in terms of our business. And truly, it comes down to just, I think we've gotten so much inspiration from digital mentors and reading these books. And we've absorbed so much knowledge that we always want to like end the day and be like, how did we serve other people today? How did we help other people today? So that's kind of always a central focus.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing like that we focus on and try and do is now how we define success is maybe I'm speaking more for myself, but I know Sandy feels the same way, but Zig Ziglar said, help enough people get what they want and you'll have everything you ever needed. And that is how we work and run our business. And our business is really our passion because at the end of the day, it's outwardly focused. It's who can I help? Who can I add value to? Who can I help, whether it's start a business? Who can I be a business coach or mentor to? Who can I help in their health? Who can I help find community? Who can I help grow in their mindset? Who can I help expand their vision for their life and see more and feel more that they can do more, have more, be more, bless more? And what you realize is leadership and growing as a leader, that has been a big, big opportunity for us and something that we've really grown into. And I think John Maxwell is one of the best leadership mentors in the world. And I heard him say recently, he's like, you know, you hear people say it's lonely at the top. I get it. But if you're at the top alone, successful, and you didn't bring other people with you, you aren't a leader. You're a hiker. Like you're hiking alone. He's like, leaders bring people with them. If other people's success stories don't have your name in them, you got to evaluate your success. So that is what we're focused on, like raising up leaders in the world to go off and make their own impact. And that has been just such a passion, you know, pivoting career, corporate dropout, pivoting from finance, business minded to people, to heart led, to focus. And like knowing that when you can go and serve the world and serve the community, whether through health, whether through helping people, financial abundance in their life, whatever that is, like helping enough people get what they want, the money will come, the abundance will come, the prosperity will flow, and like we'll have everything we ever needed. So that's like, generally speaking, kind of how we approach our business and what we do together. Yeah. But what's so cool is it's opened our mindset up to start a podcast, to start a lot of different businesses, to invest our money and do all these different things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love that Zig Ziglar quote. Yeah, help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want. And Earl Nightingale has a good one too. And it's all along the line of serving and service to other people. And it goes, you know, our reward is in exact proportion to our contribution, which is our service. Mm. It's through our service. So the more you serve, if you want $1 million, serve 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to serve people to actually feel, reap the rewards. And so I love that piece on purpose and finding what your natural talents are, what your skill sets are, and kind of honing on that. And that's where the honey is per se, right? Because that's where, well, it doesn't feel like work. Like you guys are just magnetic. You are vibrant. You feel alive because you're doing what you love. And then you're receiving the reward of helping other people get what they want.
Mm.
And so it's powerful. And I know with network marketing, I've been part of a network marketing company myself. And I know it's kind of you bring other people up, you train other people. Mm-hmm. That is the model. So tell us about your network marketing, what you've learned being in network marketing and how people see network marketing, any misconception that you may think that comes along with it.
Ooh, I love this question. So I had so many misconceptions when I first started. So I completely understand where people are coming from when they're like, oh, not a lot of people are successful, or it doesn't really work, or, you know, you have to spend a lot of time on it to ever get anything out of it, or you're going to spend more money on the products than you'll ever make. Like, you hear all these different things. Yeah. And I think, like with anything in life, you get out of it what you put into it. I always tell people, if you want this to work, if you want to build to the top of a network marketing company as we have, you need to treat it like a business. The same way, if you were to take out a six-figure loan to sign a lease for a business, like a brick and mortar business, or if you were to sign up, like you're going to go to UCLA and commit to 50,000 tuition per year, you would take it seriously. You'd buy all the books. You'd never miss a class. You'd sit in front. You'd take great notes. You'd be part of study groups. You wouldn't just pay the 50,000, never show up to class, not get a textbook, not show up, not study, and just expect to get an A.
Yeah.
So I tell people, if you treat this like a business and you follow our coaching, you know, we have weekly calls, we have incredible resources and tools to help people. We know what it takes to build this business. We had no idea what that was 3 years ago when we started. So we teach people, we hold their hand, and we're like, okay, what do you want out of this? There's no perfect definition of success. It might be this to you. It might be this to you. Whatever your answer is totally fine, but we're here to match your effort and help you achieve what you want. I think so many people don't have a long-term vision with network marketing. They think it's a get rich quick. They think, you know, I've been doing this for 3 months and I didn't really make any money.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how this works. Like, this takes time to build, you know, and it's that compounding effect. So I would tell people, like, know that this business absolutely works. Like, we are living, breathing proof that you can have a thriving lifestyle off of building a strong network marketing business that's focused on serving other people. But you really do need to come from a space of, I'm ready to become a student of this. And I know that I'll put a lot more work in up front. And it may seem like for nothing or for not much at first, but eventually, like, that compounding effect, you know, will come. So it absolutely works if you believe that it can and you put in the work and you're willing to be patient with it.
Yeah. With anything, it's like, you know, it takes sweat equity. It takes the work. Yeah. But to add to that, I think where the misconception comes is from just a lack of education, right? Or a prior experience with it. And what you find is there's a low barrier to entry, right? If you're over 18, you don't have to take out a $100,000 loan to buy a brick and mortar business or whatever. It's like usually maybe hundreds of dollars to start a business. That's a gift and a curse, right? It's beautiful because it empowers anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. But what it is it's full-blown entrepreneurship. It's like what you put into it, you'll get out of it. Now, there's people that do it right and people that do it wrong. And that's just the nature of people and humanity and everything. But what you find is who you become along the process. What I think entrepreneurship is, and what I think specifically network marketing is, it's the best self-development program in the world, because you discover so much about yourself along the way, because entrepreneurship and network marketing is growth focus. It's growth minded focus. Your business will follow you. When you grow, when you flourish as a leader, as a person, your business is going to follow after you, after that. So you got to go, like Luneed said, look to add value to the community. Look to add value to those around you. Like we talked about, help other people be successful. Be so outwardly focused on other people's success that you're becoming a leader along the way, and you're leaving a trail of positivity, of making good change in the world all around you, and you will then be successful. Like, your business grows after you do. So I think joining network marketing is a great step, but becoming a leader or becoming the person who you feel like you were meant to be in any endeavor in life that's the key, the ultimate step, and everything else will follow.
Well put, both of you. I couldn't have said it any better. It's the personal growth that takes place. I totally agree. When you grow, your business grows. And I think a lot of people jump in with into network marketing, not going with the mindset like, yo, I have to, this is my business. This is a business and I have to grow it and learn and actually devote the time to it. And once you do, just like any other business, give it some time. You will reap the results and you'll get the benefits, because to be honest, my first taste of business was through network marketing. Mm-hmm. I got an opportunity out in Boston. It was the Your Health Company, is what it was called. And it was against supplements. And that's when I heard about Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn. That's where I heard about Les Brown. And I still listen to those guys till this day, like over 10 years later. And that's what they were teaching you. That's what network marketing teaches you, is how to evolve, how to think, how to change your mindset and see your possibility, your capability. And that's what makes it so powerful and so fundamental. And with you guys, what I see, Sandy and Wade, is that you guys kind of pivot over to the branding piece of it, how to brand yourself. Because that's a big part in every business. So I want to pick your brain about a branding a company, because you had to create your own, I guess, entity within it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something, honestly, we're still figuring out. Like, it's everything is still evolving. But yeah, I would say over the past year or so, we've really focused on us as individuals in the business and the uniqueness we have of us doing it together as a couple. Yeah. There's so many people that do network marketing as a solo person. It's not super common to do it with your spouse. And so that's something we put a lot of like time and energy and focus on, you know, just being intentional about that, because, you know, there's like two pieces to that. Like, obviously we have our personal life and our marriage, and that's always a number one priority. And then we were running our business together too. It's so funny because people will sometimes be like, isn't it hard working with your husband? Or like, do you ever get sick of your wife? Like, people will ask those types of things. And we're like, we have our moments for sure. But I think it's just knowing that it's all like one big piece. Like, we don't compartmentalize it. It doesn't really feel like different identities to us. It's just like one big lifestyle business or big lifestyle. It's just a lifestyle that we've weaved in the business and all the things. So yeah, I would say the branding piece of it is something that we're still kind of figuring out.
Yeah. I think building a brand is the most valuable thing you can do in the world. And the thing is, we're all building our brand every day, whether you know it or not, or whether you actively feel like you have a brand or not. Your personality is your brand. How you show up in the world, how you make others feel is your brand. Like, and that is a thing. So when you get into entrepreneurship and business, you just become more aware of that. There are, of course, steps to take to build a brand. There are certain things. Maybe you get a website, different stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's beautiful is social media these days, and YouTube and Instagram and all these things, and podcasts are platforms mainly free to help us build our brands. Mm-hmm. And we're all unique in our own way. We all have different ways that we add value to the world. Building your brand, I think, is just being authentically you and putting it out there. And there's going to be people that resonate with that. And the more you do it, the better you get at it, the more you hone your craft. The first time you go on live on Instagram, let's say, you're like, what the heck? I'm talking to a screen. Are people even watching me? This is so weird. But maybe a year down the road after doing it, you're like, gosh, there's people out there that might need to hear this. And even if it's one person, gosh, how cool is that I might have impacted one person's day? And you get better and better at it. But I think building a brand is invaluable, and there's so much equity there. And that is really being authentically you. Because what we find in our business is like, people don't necessarily buy your product or start for one reason or another. Like, they buy into you first. They buy into you. If they listen to Luneed, your podcast, like, they're buying into you. And maybe, you know, the guests you bring on, but it's Luneed's brand that brings, you know, listeners in, because she adds value. She adds value in all these different ways. So I think we're all building brands, and especially as an entrepreneur, it's a huge opportunity to like to do that even more so, or be more intentional about it. And it is invaluable.
Yeah. Be authentically you. I like that, because you are the brand. People are buying into you, as you said, and I completely agree. There's websites, there's things that you can do, different colors and logos and all that stuff, but you have to be true. You have to be authentic and you have to believe in what you're selling. You have to believe in what you have to offer, because that comes off, you know?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
People pick up on that. People see that. So you have to know what your product, your service, whatever it is. And you know, you have to know yourself. And I love when things tie right back around, because it comes back to knowing thyself. It comes down to the self-development. It comes down to the growth. It comes down to finding your purpose and honing it in. Because then it'll be a lot easier to let people know what you do. Because we're selling ourselves every day.
Every time we open our mouth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's imperative to take those moments of meditation, those silent moments, to do the morning routine, to practice the habits that actually help you become real, become yourself, and calm down, and to juggle the different hats that it takes to being an entrepreneur. So it's no, like, I want to get into this about your morning routines. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
Good question. It's evolved over time. It really started with, you know, I think finding mentors and modeling after people can really shortcut your growth and not like, not take a shortcut, but it versus trial by fire the whole time, like mm-hmm. just modeling after what Hal Elrod did, him studying all these successful people and finding their patterns and using the savers. That's where we started. And that, you know, that silence or meditation or prayer, affirmations have been huge in our life. Visualization has as well. Exercise, reading, and scribing or journaling. I'm sure Lunita's covered this before. We adopted that to start.
She has an app on it. I added to the savers. It's called Hit Savers.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So the app on it. And so we started there and it's evolved over time and it'll never be like perfect. Like I'm a little more structure routine and Sandy's a little more free flowing. So now our mornings are different by the morning, but we generally stick to those principles. Like Lunit said, of like slowing down our mind, being in silence, like letting our inner thoughts and connect with our inner being through meditation or whatever that looks like for you, just sitting in silence and doing breath work. Affirmations are huge. They've been huge in our life and visualization. You want to talk a little bit about like how we implement those?
Yeah. Well, I would say first, I think your morning routine can actually start the night before. Like we very intentionally go to sleep together. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's been chapters or seasons of our life when I'm working on a project or he's got something going on and we're not going to bed together. But I think that kind of then like bleeds into the next day.
Yeah.
And we really want to always work on being aligned and being intentional in all parts of our life. So mm-hmm. we really work towards going to sleep together and waking up together. Yeah. So in the morning, we wake up together. We have automatic shade that goes up at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we wake up with the natural light, like the shade goes up, the lights, you know, flooding into the room. And we just kind of, our bodies naturally know like, okay, it's time to wake up. We make the bed together. That's the first thing we always do. Mm-hmm. We make the bed together. That is a non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable at hotels everywhere.
Hotels, when we're traveling, we always, always, always make the bed. And it's from that speech, the always make your bed speech.
I was going to ask you, why make your bed?
Yes. He talks about like, that basically proves to yourself that you can accomplish tasks, right? You've accomplished this first small task of the day. And that then creates this compounding effect of, oh, I can do other small tasks, right? And if you had a terrible day, you come home that day and you're like, at least I made my bed, right? So we always start with making our bed. We then make our way into the kitchen and we start, you know, we make our tea, we have like a green shot that we drink every day, like for our gut health. And then we
go hydration.
Hydration's mm-hmm. huge.
Huge. 20 to 30 ounces in the morning. If you want to add sea salt and lemon to it, extra bonus points.
Yes. So hydration.
Wade your inner bath.
Yes. Wade always says it's an inner bath. And then we make our way over to the couch and we usually are reading a book together. So actually right now we're 21 weeks pregnant. We're so excited. We're having our first baby this
November.
Thank you.
So right now, a lot of the books you've been reading the past few months are really focused on parenthood and pregnancy and, you know, things like that. They used to be more personal growth related, but now we're in this chapter. So that's mm-hmm. what we're reading. But we'll sit on the couch and we'll popcorn read, or more likely than not, Wade will usually read to me. So we read together. Then we usually do some sort of meditation. We'll stream on the TV, like a guided meditation from YouTube. We love Gabby Bernstein. She has a really short, easy 5-minute one. It's called like positive affirmation mm-hmm. meditation. And it's all about like all is well. And it's so empowering. She has so many incredible things in there. So we listen to that. We'll often play like money affirmations or money magnet. Like I am, you know, I am abundant. I am rich. I am a money magnet type YouTube things in the background as we're like starting our morning, mapping out, okay, what does your day look like?
Gratitude journaling.
And then affirmations are a big part. We're big believers that I am are the two most powerful words that you can say. And so then Wade will go into his office. I sometimes will do it in my office. Sometimes he'll stay on the couch, whatever. And we look in the mirror and we'll like affirm to ourselves, like I am blank. Like we have a whole list. We have in our offices, which I'm looking at mine right now, we both have like beautiful vision boards of things that we're working towards in our life. And so, you know, we'll do our affirmations, we'll look at our vision board and visualize like, gosh, what will it feel like to accomplish this? Like, who's the person I need to become to have that or achieve that? Like those types of things. So we kind of incorporate all the things, and it's probably like a good hour or hour and a half from the time we wake up, you know, that shade goes up and we're making our bed till the time we're like really ready to start diving into the day. And we've already done all of our morning routine, but we didn't used to have any structure.
No.
It used to just be like alarm goes off, snooze, 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 crap, I'm going to be late, running out the door. Like that was our life like 3-4 years ago.
And that's been the hugest shift, is like when you own your morning and you prime your body, your brain, your day, everything, you like, you own the morning, you're intentional about it. Then you're intentional about your day. You own your day, you own your week, you own your month, you own your year, you own your life. And so that's been a big shift for us. It's like how you start something and that intention you put forth is going to have that compound and that ripple effect through the rest of your day, week, year, life, everything.
Yeah, you guys said it so well. It's everything that I've been sharing and saying, and you guys are living proof of it and confirming it to the audience that it's important that you are intentional in the morning. It sets the tone for the rest of the day. And now let's talk about what happens if you don't do it.
Good question.
I will say there's not many days that we miss, like if we have like a 6 a.m. flight or something, we may not like go through the whole thing before we get to the airport. But for the most part, we really are good about sticking to it. We also have rules around our phone. Our phone is not allowed in our bedroom, either charges in our offices or in the bathroom to keep it like away.
Yeah.
And we don't look at our phone till after our morning routine. So typically from 8 or 9 p.m. till probably 8 or 9 a.m., we are nowhere near our phones. So that gives us time to like connect. And I think that's so huge. For anyone listening, I want to say like the biggest thing I hope you take away from this is don't fall asleep holding your phone, and don't wake up and have the first thing you do be checking your emails, checking your texts, and immediately scrolling Instagram. Like that is literally allowing other people and the news and the media and just other things to control your day and your mood and your life. And you have to take control of that. I understand it takes a pattern to break that addiction, because like I used to have that addiction to like go to sleep scrolling or wake up and have that be the first thing. We got to get away from that. So I would say like, yeah, break that habit and come up with like some rules around like protected space. Like your bedroom is a space for rest and a space for intimacy. It's not a space to like update your Facebook status.
Right. Yeah. And to piggyback and to answer, like, you know, there of course are days that we don't go fully through or we somewhat miss it. But I think our life is a product of our habits, right? What we do day in, day out. Our life is a product of our standards. Like what standard do we hold ourselves to? Is it that I will meditate or go through a morning routine every day? Or is it, you know, what are your standards? But I definitely feel when I miss it. And I think, you know, I give myself grace if I miss a day here or there. But I realize if I've been out of sync or out of tune with my typical morning routine or what really sets me on fire, it shows up, you know, maybe 90 days later. And it's like, it's not a right away thing, but that compounding effect, if I get away from it, if I get away from the things that helped me get to where I am, that I really attribute a lot of value to, and a lot of it is that morning routine and those affirmations and the visualization and the stillness and the meditation, all those gratitude. When I do get away from that, it shows up in my life, like usually 90 days later. And it's just renewing that habit and just diving back into it. So that's been a realization of mine recently. There have been ebbs and flows and changes in our life where we haven't been as morning routine devoted. And I realized that, and I'm back in a season where I'm like, I need to really get back into all the things that helped me get here. I can't get away from that. And it's just a standard of mine.
Yeah, it does changes your mood, agitation level, stress. You cope better once you do it. You know how to handle, again, the multiple hats that you do wear when you're in alignment, essentially. That's what the morning routine gives you. It gives you more time at the end of the day. You take an hour, but it gives you more focused time. It gives you increased motivation, right? So it'll keep you going, because we're, as entrepreneurs, are working long hours. But you don't feel it because you're in the zone, but you also have taken care of yourself first thing in the morning. You got to make that time. And Sandy, along the line of not checking your cell phone, like I have habits in place to actually break that habit, because everyone, you know, the majority of people suffer from that. And what tends to happen is when you check your phone and open social media, emails, even work emails, you've now let somebody else's agenda take over your own. It's no longer about you. You got to answer those emails. You got to like, you got to respond, you got to text. And it's somebody else's agenda for you, not necessarily your own. And so that changes the game. You got to really devote that time, non-negotiable time for yourself before you let the world in.
Exactly.
Essentially. You guys are amazing. And I love everything you said about habits. It's like a page out of my book. You guys are pretty phenomenal. So tell us how we can connect with you. How can we find your business so people can reach out?
Well, it's been a pleasure connecting with you and, you know, all the listeners out there, Luneed. And I think probably the best way, we actually have our own podcast, Getting Magnetic. So if you listen to podcasts, you know, you're listening to this one, check it out. We, you know, a lot of similar content. It's focused on entrepreneurship, on mindset. And then the other best way is we have our website, sandyandwade.com. And then probably on Instagram, right? Sandy loves Christmas. Her handle is SandyClaus7 and mine is @wellnesswithwade. And that's probably where we can connect. We love connecting with people. So we'd love to, you know, hear your takeaways or just a hi or anything in between.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really, really grateful to have you on for sharing your presence with us today. And really, truly, you are magnetic. And what you do is magnetic. It kind of oozes out of you. And it's been a joy listening to you and involvement and growth. I mean, you guys, it's been such a joy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Luneed.
My pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.